God's gift of peace. My apologies for those who have heard part of this sermon 2 weeks ago, whether you're in St. John's, 1 week ago, whether you're in Geraldton. But there's a variation on a theme anyway. And it was 2 weeks ago that these words on Easter Sunday were read, and they come from the book of Acts in chapter 10, I believe. And St. Peter has been called to the house of Cornelius to share the good news with them. And it's when he's there and Peter sees what God is doing, he says, "Now I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." This is coming from Peter, a Jew, speaking about non-Jews, Gentiles, who the Jews had thought were outside of God's favor. And Peter saw with his own eyes, God has accepted them. And he goes on to say, "As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, that he is Lord of all." Let's pray. We thank you, God, that you've sent Jesus into this world to be our peace. Open our hearts and our minds to understand what the peace is that you give to us. The peace that passes human understanding. And give that peace to us in our meditation, dear Lord, so that we can continue to grow and live in peace with you and with one another. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't necessarily want to repeat the things that I've said the last 2 weeks, but I guess what I really was getting at is we're in a world that is divided and broken, and we seek peace, don't we? Peace around the world, peace for Ukraine, peace for the Middle East, between Israel and Gaza and the other Arab nations. And there are many countries around the world who we don't hear of in the news because it's been overtaken by these countries that I've just mentioned. But peace for Uganda, peace for Sudan, peace for the Democratic Republic of Congo, peace for Myanmar, formerly Burma, peace in Central and South America, all around the world. People struggle. Lives are broken. And it's not just around the world, even here in Australia. While we relatively live at peace, in our own lives we know that there are lots of tensions. There's lots of broken relationships. There's lots of problems. You've got them in your own lives, your own families. And we keep seeking peace. It's wonderful that God has taught us how to find peace. Peace with him, and then peace with each other. And that peace with him has come through Jesus, whom we celebrate every Sunday after Sunday, gathering on that first day of the week, the day on which Christ was raised from the dead. That's why we worship on Sundays. It's the day of resurrection. And week after week in that rhythm, we remember on this day, God has come alive to remind us that he is Lord of all. But it's not an easy journey, and we struggle to find that peace. In today's readings, the first reading and the gospel reading, we heard of two great men of Scripture, St. Paul and St. Peter. Perhaps the largest two names that you read of in the New Testament, disciples of Jesus, but they struggled in their own lives to find peace. Peter realized that for all his bravado, he wasn't as brave and as strong as he thought. When the crunch came, he too denied his Lord. Even though he had promised, "Lord, all these others might flee from you, but I will never leave you. I'm willing to die for you." But like a dog with a tail between its legs, when he was challenged in that courtyard and he was all alone, he said, "I don't know the man." And when that rooster crowed for that third time, Peter just ran out and wept bitterly like a child, because he was confronted by his own weakness. What to do? He was incredibly excited when he saw the Lord resurrected on that first day of the week. But was he at peace? In today's reading, the chapter that follows on, because the word of peace comes from John chapter 20, but in chapter 21, Peter is saying, I'm going to go fishing. It's his old lifestyle. It's what he knew so well. He'd grown up in the oceans. Jesus had called him from his fishing nets, but now things have changed. Jesus isn't calling them to follow around in this world with him anymore. What to do? Well, I'm going to go fishing. And the other said, we'll come with you. They're comfortable, they're familiar with that too. And it's while they're fishing, and they must be thinking about these past weeks. We don't know exactly the time frame of how soon after Jesus is appearing to them. That's the third time we're told in the scripture. But he does. They're fishing and they're doing the same thing. Sometimes there's a good catch and sometimes there's nothing. And this was one of those nights when the fish didn't seem to be biting. Until there's this voice from the shore, well, throw your nets down on the other side. And they do, and suddenly there's this miraculous catch, and their minds are taken back to those previous times when Jesus had been with them, and they've seen his handiwork, and one of them says, it's the Lord. And Peter is in enthusiasm, gets himself dressed and a little bit more honorable and acceptable to meet his Lord, and jumps into the water to rush and to see Jesus. He is so hungry to see Jesus. And the others eventually follow him. And what's Jesus doing? He wants to feed them. He's cooking some fish. And after they've had their meal, Peter has that encounter with Jesus. Three times Jesus is asking him, Peter, do you love me? And what does Jesus tell Peter to do? Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed them with what? Feed them with the good news. The good news that your sins are forgiven. Peter, you may have denied me, but I forgive you your sins. Don't keep clinging to them as if they were something of the past. Feed on this truth that I love you. And in this, Peter finds peace. In Jesus' constant feeding. We're the same, aren't we? We need to hear again and again and again that God loves you, that he has forgiven you, that he does not hold your sins against you. That's why we come week after week to hear that word, to feed on Jesus, and to receive too from the hand of Jesus through your servant pastors this meal of forgiveness. Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Feed on this and know I love you. Be at peace. We need it again and again. Paul was of a similar situation. He was a man who was wanting peace in the world. And he thought that peace was going to come through the laws of the Jews. This is how we are right with God, through our strict obedience to what God has set down in his scriptures. And so when he is seeing this Christian movement, these followers of Jesus, this way as they were first called, seeming to break in and tear apart the Jewish nation and bring about some change, Paul was not a happy man. So when Stephen was finally brought before the leaders and they said, stone him, Saul stood alongside, watching, giving approval, holding the cloaks of those who were stoning Stephen to death. The end of Acts chapter 7. And then at the beginning of Acts chapter 8, we're told in no uncertain terms. I had it open a moment ago. A And Saul approved of Stephen's execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And through all their regions, the Christians were scattered through Judea, Samaria. Except for the apostles, the 12 leaders. They stayed in Jerusalem, but others just fled. And it's the next chapter that we hear that Saul continues. And Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the followers, the disciples of the Lord. He then goes to the high priest, we heard in the reading today, to ask for a letter that might give him permission to find these Christians who have scattered and drag them back before the trial in Jerusalem so that they can also be stomped out. And this way, this movement, can be quashed. Paul, who wanted peace with God, was not doing things in a very peaceful way. He thought he could bring about some peace for the Jews by eradicating these Christians and causing them to turn from this strange way. And so when Paul gets approval, he heads off to Damascus. And suddenly his life is turned upside down too. And when he meets Jesus on that road to Damascus, and he is blinded, you can sense that he has to rethink what he once thought was true. It wouldn't have been a very peace-filled time for him. But sometimes God ushers us through these seasons of disquiet and discomfort to have to turn us around so that we can truly find peace. And for 3 days, Paul is there fasting and praying, seeking from God to understand what has taken place. Until God sends Ananias to him. And with Ananias' word of reassurance, Saul, the Lord has heard your prayer, and he has come, asked me to come to you so that I can give you back your sight and fill you with God's gift of his Spirit. The Spirit that ushers peace into our lives. Remember when Jesus first appeared to the disciples? He breathes on them his Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul was to receive through Ananias. Peace that the world cannot give. Jesus says in John's Gospel, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you." Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. And Paul finds his peace, not in doing things his way, but finds his peace in Jesus. And having to learn to do things in a completely new and different way, submitting to Jesus' authority in his life. We can fight with God. We can fight to try and do things our own way. We can try and fix our families. We can try and fix our situations. It doesn't necessarily bring us peace. Those of you ladies who were here yesterday got to hear Mary's amazing story as she was waiting on God and seeking from God to give her peace. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it happens quickly. But peace comes to us when even those deep, dark, secret sins that we've tried to hide get to be handed to God. And he says, "I love you. I don't hold it against you. I forgive you. Be at peace." And share that peace with others around you. We might think we are hurting our neighbors when we refuse to forgive their sins. When we get to hold their wrongdoings against them. We're not hurting them. We're only hurting ourselves. We cage ourselves in this revenge, this anger, the disquiet. We'll fix them. We'll show them. God doesn't call us to to decide who we should or shouldn't forgive. God calls us to bring peace to the world. He led Peter into an uncomfortable situation with Cornelius, with these non-Jews, to speak a word of peace to them. Peter was able to do that because he had experienced that peace that Jesus had given to him. Paul became an incredible advocate, writing half of the letters that we, half of the writings that we have in the New Testament to lead us to understand that when God has his way in our lives, we get to speak a word of peace to the world. It's God's gift to us at Easter. It was promised at Christmas. You remember the word of the angels, don't you? When Jesus was born, the angels go to the shepherds and say, peace on earth. God's favour to those who he wills. A saviour has been born. That word of peace at the birth of Jesus and that word of peace that comes with Jesus' resurrection. It's the whole purpose of God sending Jesus into this world so that we can be at peace with God, and in knowing that we are at peace with God, we can learn to be at peace with each other. We're slow learners sometimes. But God doesn't give up. He's happy to keep feeding you his words of reassurance and love. Hear that word. Taste that word. And be at peace. Let's pray. Father, what an amazing, transforming gift your peace is to us through Jesus. Help us again this day simply to receive from you your word of love and forgiveness so that we can be at peace. Pour out on us your Holy Spirit so that we can share that peace with those around us to the glory of your holiness.